50 years ago today, Senator Robert F. Kennedy killed by an assassin's bullet. He was shot yesterday and died today. There was even talk, and people don't believe this, but there was talk amongst us as we went into school, there was talk that he was going to survive this thing. Even though he was shot in the head, there was still word that he was going to make it. He was going to make it somehow, and of course that did not turn out to be the case. On this 50th anniversary of the death of Robert Kennedy, a new book has come out. Author Rick Allen has written this, and it's the RFK, His Words for Our Times. Rick is a media and technology executive. He's been a speechwriter, fundraiser, and state campaign manager for several presidential and Senate candidates. Also served as deputy assistant to President Clinton, helping to create AmeriCorps. Rick Allen, good morning.
Good morning to you.
This book does what I think many of the other books written about Kennedy have not done. This concentrates a lot on his speeches, on his words and everything else, and includes a lot of commentary from Barack Obama, from Bill Clinton, and everything else. Now, I understand that there was an earlier book that you had also co-written.
Yes.
I can't remember the guy's name now.
Yes, Ed Guthman, who was a legendary journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner, was Robert Kennedy's press secretary, and started working with him on the Rackets Committee in the 1950s. And Ed and I wrote a book in 1993 that was the first collection of speeches. And what I did, Ed passed away in 2008, and so I reissued the book. It's a completely new edit, but it incorporates Ed's great early chapters and some new material, including a number of new essays reflecting on Robert Kennedy's legacy, two of which you mentioned, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. But we have 30 world leaders, four presidents, five Nobel Peace Prize winners, and a range of other important voices reflecting on how Robert Kennedy's impacted them personally and also impacted our country and the world.
What did we lose on that day, Rick?
An incredible voice for a reconciled America moving forward to meet its central challenges. Someone who could reach across the boundaries of age, of gender, of race, of geography, who could also be clear-eyed about pursuing change in a way that was pragmatic and practical. It was hard to pinpoint Robert Kennedy as either a pure liberal or pure conservative. He believed in change that worked. He had specific ideas to get there. And he was enormously inspirational, including in his public speaking, to call people to transcend their own limitations and personal concerns to help build stronger communities. And I think all of that represents substantial loss. And it's one of the reasons that at the memorial at Arlington Cemetery tomorrow to celebrate the 50th anniversary, there'll be 5,000 people from literally all over the world, including a president and members of Congress from both parties.
I remember when reading the Three Musketeers books, and it was said of them that they could coexist in all different types of crowds, all different kinds of people, the rich, the poor, everything else. I think you could say that about Bobby Kennedy, no?
That's a wonderful analogy, and it's absolutely true. Obviously born to a family of privilege, he deliberately went outside his comfort zone repeatedly all over the world. Two ways. He went to audiences that he knew would be hostile, again, all over the world, and confronted the comfortable in ways that he knew would cost him votes, but where he thought that dialogue, direct and with respect, was important to getting a common understanding of the problems and hopefully the solutions. But the second point is that he went into parts of the country that no other elected official was visiting regularly. And those were the most desperately poor, disadvantaged, and voiceless parts of America, the inner city, Indian reservations, the California Central Valley, the agricultural hub of the United States, the Mississippi Delta, upstate New York, where the migrant farm workers lived. And he went there to experience what life was like for the what he called the forgotten Americans, and to bring the pictures and the news of how our fellow citizens were living to the rest of America. And that, as you said, was an indication of his ability to feel comfortable with people in all places and of all circumstances.
There's a part of the book where you deal with his trip to South Africa, and he spoke out against apartheid, but he did this while acknowledging what was going on here, the struggles with civil rights back home.
Yes. Now, Bob, that's a really important point. And frankly, that's my favorite part of the book. That trip in 1966, essentially 2 years before his death, the most famous speech in Cape Town occurred exactly 2 years before his death, was exceptionally important for him and for his wife, Ethel, but very, very important for South Africa. And that Cape Town speech, which is probably his most famous public remarks, really began with and acknowledged the shortcomings of America and the fact that really what each country and each group of citizens should be trying to do is not to call out the citizens of other countries for their wrongs, but to be able to work ceaselessly to improve the lives of their own fellow citizens and to hold forward a moral standard that could help to inspire and move forward people from around the world. That's what he did so effectively in South Africa. It had a huge impact on the fight against apartheid, and it was the grounds for many really, really wonderful stories and fantastic speeches.
We're talking to Rick Allen, whose new book is RFK, His Words for Our Times, this being the 50th anniversary of the death of Robert F. Kennedy by an assassin's bullet. The off-the-cuff speech that he gave in Indianapolis during his presidential campaign, and he had to tell the crowd that Martin Luther King had died. This is a speech that in and of itself should have healed us, no?
It was incredibly important to those folks in Indianapolis and remains one of the greatest speeches given in the second half of the 20th century. The circumstances were quite amazing, and I would mention to your listeners that on our website, rfkspeeches.com, we have the video from that night, we have the audio from the Cape Town speech, and a bunch of other audio and video full speeches or extracts, so folks can see Kennedy in his own element. But in Indianapolis, he flew into that city knowing that Dr. King had been shot, found out on landing that King had died, knew he was going to a campaign rally in the days before cell phones or cable television to deliver the message that a civil rights hero had died and had been killed to a community so closely identified with Dr. King. He was warned against doing so by the mayor and the police chief. He decided to go ahead even though that he was told that the police would not accompany him and would not protect him. He relied on the advice of John Lewis, now congressman, then already a civil rights icon, went to a community, delivered this tragic news, and you can hear on the videotape the screams and gasps from the crowd to find this news. And he proceeded to talk to them extemporaneously and briefly, but incredibly movingly, about his own loss of his brother and the fact that as a fellow victim of violence, the understandable reaction to move towards anger, depression, and rage had to be fought back against because it was not going to either heal the personal wounds or bind up the community. And Robert Kennedy called for nonviolence with the authenticity of a fellow victim. He spoke incredibly eloquently, even though he was speaking entirely without reference to notes or any speech copy. And the impact was dramatic. That night, over 120 American cities and towns had substantial riots. 39 people died.
Hundreds of people were injured in Boston, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet that didn't happen in Indianapolis.
I've got a little piece of this right now.
Perfect.
Put that on right now. I'm not entirely sure you're going to be able to hear it, but you can pretend. Anyway, hang on a second.
Absolutely.
I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black...
The words ring out just like they did back then. As you say, it's a speech that could have healed the country. It certainly seemed like it healed Indianapolis, did it not?
Yes, indeed. And I think it's important to remember that when you come to aggrieved communities with a deep understanding of their lives and their problems, when you have the capacity to communicate the same aspirations that they hold for themselves and their families and their communities to other communities around the country, and when you've got that kind of authenticity and that kind of passion and commitment, you can make a difference and you can help to bridge gaps. That's what Robert Kennedy was extraordinary at, and that is what his legacy teaches all of us to mirror in our own lives.
You know, we always like to imagine what his presidency would have been like. And, you know, it's a fantasy world. I understand that. But would there be a need, do you think, for Black Lives Matter if he had lived, if he had become president?
It's obviously, as you say, impossible to know. But I think Robert Kennedy had become such a champion of the forgotten Americans and had spent such considerable time with Americans who fell into that category, including African Americans. I would think that his leadership on their behalf and on the country's behalf, and his specific involvement as having been the chief law enforcement officer of the United States as Attorney General, and being very sensitive to the necessity of the police community, police officers, to work with communities and to have respect, safety, public safety, and the fair treatment of each citizen, I think that would have made a significant difference for our country.
The book is called RFK, His Words for Our Times on the 50th Anniversary of the Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. Author Rick Allen has been with us. Rick, what's the best way to get this book for listeners?
Anywhere you want. Virtually every bookstore is carrying it online, both Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other major online booksellers. So I would encourage you to reach out locally if you can, online and through the major chains as well.
Rick Allen, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Take care.
Bye-bye.